Is up, team. My name is Janie, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Reform Radio. Get excited, guys, because also, sorry for the keyboard ASMR, I'm filling out the station form. So it's not my usual hour. If you're familiar with my voice, I typically do every other Thursdays at 10 a.m. So I will be on this coming Thursday at 10 a.m., but I just wanted to pick up an extra spot because, one thing about me, I typically play K-pop on my radio hour pretty much exclusively, I would say. But as you might be noticed, as you might have noticed, we did not listen to a song in Korean, and that is because today is special. Today is so very special. As a treat, we are going to be having a pretty much exclusively yap hour. I am going to be talking maybe for the whole hour, I would say. And the song we just listened to was Under Our Spell from the My Little Pony Equestria Girls movie, Rainbow Rocks. Yeah. Yeah. And I hope you were as excited as I am to hear that song, because I love that song. And that movie, Rainbow Rocks, is the best Equestria Girls movie. And you might be like, what's the Equestria Girls movie? Great question. It's a My Little Pony spinoff franchise of movies in which the My Little Pony main six, main spelled M-A-N-E, the main cast of characters are in fact humans that go to high school. And they defeat various challenges. And in Rainbow Rocks, they fight the sirens, who can sing really good. And they have a battle of the bands. And you know what? Let's just also listen to Battle of the Bands, too. You might be like, Janie, what's the theme for this hour? Great question. And while I hate to alienate my audience, this is going to be incredibly niche. So buckle in. We are going to be talking about the My Little Pony Infection AU. That might be a string of words that you are unfamiliar with, but allow me to explain. My Little Pony being My Little Pony the children's show. Infection being, let's start with AU actually. AU stands for Alternate Universe, and if you are well versed in fandom culture and lingo, you would know that that means it's basically any piece of fan work that exists in a universe where the characters from the original canon literature are the same in a sense, but they're in like a different universe. For example, like if you were going to take, honestly, Equestria Girls is kind of an AU. Like, if you were to take the characters of My Little Pony and put them in high school, that would be a high school AU, you know? So it's a very common kind of fandom literature, often relating to fan fiction. But a special surprise is, as of late, I would say in the past month or two, past 2 months, there has been the rise of the Infection AU on TikTok specifically, where My Little Pony's creators, multiple different My Little Pony creators, have started creating this story about infection hitting the My Little Pony world. And the lore is so juicy. So we're going to get into it. But actually, let me read the PSA and get that out of the way. So while I'm picking a PSA, we are going to be listening to another My Little Pony song. I'm thinking Let's Have a Battle of the Bands is what we're going to be listening to. So let me cue that up and let's get excited, guys. Let's get to it.
You want to get together. We heard you want to rock the school. We've got something that is better, something that changes all the rules. Why pretend we're all the same when some of us shine brighter? Here's a chance to find your flame. Are you a loser or a fighter? Me and you, you and me. Why don't we see who is better? We don't have to be one in the same thing. Oh, what's so wrong with a little competition? Are you afraid of failing the audition? You're a star and you should know it. Yeah, you rise above the rest. It doesn't matter who you hurt if you're just proving you're the best.
Okay, our PSA for today is from the Tufts Art Gallery. The Tufts University Art Gallery is dedicated to conceiving and presenting exhibits and educational programs that explore new global perspectives on art and art discourse. All exhibitions and related programming are free, open to the public, and fully accessible. The Tufts University Art Gallery is located in the Aitikman Arts Center at 40 Talbot Avenue on the Somerville-Medford campus of Tufts University. For current exhibitions and hours, just search the web for Tufts University Art Gallery, or you can also call 617-627-3518. This has been a public service message from WMFO and Medford Tufts Educational Radio. Okay, that was a bit of a tough one. We'll pretend like I do know how to read. But I chose that PSA because, guys, we're talking about art today, but as a side note, the Tufts University Art Galleries do have like a very amazing exhibit up right now of Kenneth Tam's work. I highly recommend if you get the chance to go see it. It's gorgeous. But now let's get to talking about some, I was about to say real art, but I feel like that would be offensive, so I'm not going to say that. I didn't say that. We are going to be talking about some different art. That art being the My Little Pony Infection at You. And now, okay, allow me to set the scene. So, My Little Pony, when I refer to the canon or, like, the source literature, I'm, in fact, referring to My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, which is the show that aired and is the best show, I would argue, of My Little Pony content. I feel like that's just kind of commonly accepted. And in My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, there's lots of seasons. I would recommend only watching the season premiere and season finale of each season, because honestly, you're not gonna get a whole lot of content. But like plot-wise, plot might be a stretch to say, but there is some plot points, I would say that. In the first season, okay, we get introduced to Twilight Sparkle. And if you know anything about My Little Pony, you of course know who Twilight Sparkle is. She's purple and she can do magic. And there's like three subsets of ponies that live in Equestria, which is like the country, the world. Also, fun fact, Equestria, I believe, is technically the country because it's based off America. They have a city called Manhattan. We'll talk about that later. But the... there's unicorns who can do magic, there's Pegasi who can fly, and then there's the earth ponies who are just, hey, regular horses. And if you might be thinking, that feels kind of unfair, it gets worse because the earth ponies are farmers. Yeah, they're farmers, and they farm all the produce for all of the peoples, all the ponies of Equestria. And the unicorns are often in leadership, and they are educated and do stuff like that. And the Pegasi are the military. Okay, this is also based on the founding myth of Equestria, which is part of the show. But literally, like, the Pegasi are the military. In, like, modern day, in terms of, like, the time the show is running, the Pegasi are more, they control the weather. And they are, like, also, like, super athletic and do, like, sports stuff. We can get into the politics of Pony World of Equestria soon. Don't worry, we'll get into it. But also, the ruler of Equestria, she's the queen, right? Queen? Yeah, she's the queen. Queen Celestia. Oh my god, I'm so sorry. I said the word Celestia and immediately knew that was wrong. It's princess. Princess Celestia. There is no queen. Princess Celestia is a big white alicorn. Big as in tall, but she's super skinny and slim because she's super strong. And to be a strong magical unicorn, alicorn, let me correct myself, you gotta be skinny. That's just facts. There's actually lore. There's lore. Trust. Okay. Princess Celestia is an alicorn, which is, she has wings and a horn because she's both. So she's, like, got super powerful magic. I would say her most similar character archetype, to common media that the world might be familiar with is Dumbledore. She is the Dumbledore of My Little Pony. In the sense that she is all-powerful, but often does not deal with problems herself, and instead gets her young protege to do it for her. And then there's Princess Luna. Oh, also Princess Celestia raises and sets the sun every day. Okay. And then Princess Luna raises and sets the moon every night. And Princess Luna is powerful, but not as powerful as her sister, as you can tell, because she is a smaller pony. Princess Celestia is like twice the size of an average pony. We can get into the power scaling in a bit, but it's quite strange. Princess, there's kind of like two modes. Well, I would say three sizes of pony on average. There's the regular ponies, which is like the earth ponies, Pegasi, and unicorns. They're all the same size. And then Princess Luna is kind of the next size up. She's like Gigi Hadid. And then there's Princess Celestia, who's like Bella Hadid. So there's like, it's kind of like stages, you know, and that represents their power. Like their size is directly correlated to their power. And now Twilight Sparkle is Harry Potter. Twilight Sparkle is Princess Celestia's protege. She's her student. And the series Friendship is Magic starts with Princess Celestia being like, you're the smartest girl out there. You're so smart. But girl, you got to learn what friendship is. So I'm going to send you to Ponyville. What's Ponyville? Ponyville is just a random town in Equestria. And she's like, you're going to go there and learn the value of friendship. And Twilight Sparkle is like, I don't need friends. I'm super smart. And Princess Celestia goes, no, girl, you need friends. So she sends her to Ponyville. And over the course of the series, over the course of like the first episode, Princess Twilight Sparkle meets Applejack, Rainbow Dash, Fluttershy, Rarity, and Pinkie Pie. If that was indicative of all, I don't like Pinkie Pie. She's my least favorite. Sorry. But they all do different things. There's six of them, the main six. And Twilight Sparkle and Rarity are unicorns. Fluttershy and Rainbow Dash are Pegasi, and then Applejack and Pinkie Pie are Earth Ponies. And you might be like, what is so special about the main six? Great question. So, key part of the My Little Pony lore is that all of the ponies have cutie marks, which is essentially like a little mark that they get on their flank. Oh, Lord. But they get like a mark, which is like the thing that you're good at, like a Care Bear. It's like when you got your first job, and they were like surprised this job is actually your lifelong purpose and desire and the thing you're best at, you got a tattoo for that represents that job. So Twilight Sparkle, you'll never guess, hers is a sparkle because she's good at magic. Rarities is gems because she's a fashionista. Fluttershy is, hey, butterflies, because she's really good with animals. It's also implied she can talk to animals and that they talk to her often. Rainbow Dash, hers is a rainbow, but there's actually more lore to that because Rainbow Dash, she flies super fast. That's her thing. And that's part of her thing because she
did something called a sonic rain boom, which is basically when you fly so fast, you make a sonic boom, but it's a rainbow. And we'll get back to that. And Apple Jacks is apples because she comes from a family that, a large extended family, where they have an apple farm. And she's the best at farming the apples, and her name is Applejack. And then Pinkie Pie is, it's balloons, because she's the best at throwing parties. That's her thing. So this is the main six. And you might be like, how did they become friends? Great question. When they were all children, is that the right word? I don't know. When they were all young, they were all individually, they had never met before. They're all individually doing their things. They don't have their cutie marks yet, and they're like trying to find their cutie mark thing. And then Rainbow Dash does her sonic boom, rain boom, for the first time, and it's the inciting incident for all six of these ponies getting their cutie marks. So they're like kind of connected in that way. Do they ever find that out in the show? I don't know if they ever find that out, if they ever learn about that. But either way, they also, each six of them has a like core characteristic that is assigned to them that they're very good at. So Applejack is honesty. Pinkie Pie is, I'm pretty sure it's like fun. Rarity is, oh guys, I'm really, this is hard. Okay, so Applejack is honesty. I think Rainbow Dash is bravery. Pinkie Pie is fun. Fluttershy is caring. I'm trying to remember the theme song. I think Rarity is like generosity. And then Twilight Sparkle is just magic. But basically, these like core strengths that they are very good at is like anytime they do that thing, they are like, they get extra powers. Okay. And that starts with the elements of harmony. So you might be wondering, what are the elements of harmony? I'm so glad you asked, because the elements of harmony are, there's a wood, there's a forest near Ponyville. And in that forest, there's a lot of things you're not supposed to touch. And in the first season, Princess Celestia sends Twilight Sparkle to Ponyville. Okay, knowing that that forest is there. What's in that forest? Nightmare Moon's castle. You might be like, who is Nightmare Moon? Great question. Great question. She is a very evil pony wizard, sorceress lady who got banished to the moon by Princess Celestia because she was so evil and powerful and strong. She got banished to the moon. And she lives on the dark side of the moon. But she also has a castle on Equestria in the forest. And you might be like, huh, kind of strange that the most powerful pony, aka Princess Celestia, instead of dealing with the issue, simply banishes her. This is a common recurring theme. Every single villain of caliber in the show, in the 9 seasons of the show, is a villain that comes back from the past because they were banished by Princess Celestia the first time they came around, and they've escaped their banishment, and now they're back, and Princess Celestia goes, oh no! And then something happens to Princess Celestia, and then she can't deal with the problem, so Twilight Sparkle has to deal with the problem. Okay? This is, like, classic My Little Pony structure. But, basically, the Twilight Sparkle ends up, hey, in the woods, so, to no one's surprise. But, basically, she has to deal with Nightmare Moon. It's like, oh my god, Nightmare Moon is here. What do we do? I'll tell you what you're going to do about Nightmare Moon. You're going to fight her. And the way they fight her is they find the elements of harmony. And the elements of harmony are these, like, 6 gems that, hey, correspond with the main 6's cutie marks. What a coincidence. That when they each, one of the main 6, each, you know, gets into the elements, they get, like, magic powers. Okay. I'm also, for reference, I'm also referencing a slideshow I made with one of my best friends, Sky, where we really dig into the lore of My Little Pony. Rainbow Dash's is not bravery, it's loyalty. That makes a lot of sense. Oh, Pinkie Pie's is laughter. Okay, it's so fun. All right. But basically, there's like these gems. And the way they defeat Nightmare Moon is she comes down to Earth and she's like eviling it up and making an eternal night. And she's like gonna get revenge on Princess Celestia. And then Twilight Sparkle finds the elements of harmony, which are in the Tree of Harmony. And she grabs them and they each all correspond. And then they like all put them on. And for Twilight Sparkle, it turns into a crown, foreshadowing. For all the other ponies, it turns into like a necklace. And they like zap Nightmare Moon with a rainbow of friendship, and it's the first time they're like, oh my god, we're really friends, I'm working all together, and everything is beautiful and great. And then they zap Nightmare Moon, and boom, she turns into Princess Luna, because turns out Princess Luna went actually evil crazy, and then Princess Celestia banished her to the moon. So now she's back to being Princess Luna. Yay. Everyone is so excited, but Nightmare Moon was like, she was really cool. Also keep in mind that when Princess Luna turns into Nightmare Moon, she gets Bella Hadid skinny and tall. She gets to be the same size as Princess Celestia, okay? But when she's Princess Luna, she's smaller than Princess Celestia, and Princess Celestia is the only Bella Hadid. Okay? Something to think about. But that's the first revealing of the night of the Elements of Harmony, right? And from there on, pretty much, they continue to use the Elements of Harmony anytime there's a problem. And they kind of get, like, scaled up over time of, like, how much they can do. But pretty much, like, in order to use the Elements of Harmony, they have to be, like, the best versions of themselves and, like, use and, like, really display the trait that each Element of Harmony represents. And you might be like, hey, if there was something that could defeat Nightmare Moon this whole time, why didn't Princess Celestia go and get the Elements of Harmony? Great question. Because she couldn't do it by herself because she needs the friends, right? So she sends Twilight Sparkle to, oh, happen upon the Elements of Harmony. What? And then happened to find the six friends that she was connected to this whole time. What? You know? Okay, there's a lot of that. And basically, throughout the many, many seasons, is there only four? No, there's eight seasons? No, nine? Nine. There's nine seasons. But basically, throughout the seasons, Twilight is like learning lessons of friendship. And every time something bad happens, she doesn't know what to do. And then she sends a letter to Princess Celestia. And Princess Celestia is like, well, unfortunately, I can't help you at this time. You're going to have to deal with this yourself, but I believe in you. And then Twilight Sparkle is like, oh my god, Princess Celestia believes in me. I have to do this all by myself. Lo and behold, the moral of the story is friendship is magic. So then once her friends help her, everything turns out to be fine. Right? Okay. So, key element here is that Princess Celestia takes on Twilight Sparkle as a protege when she is very young, pre-cutie mark. She has taken a test, which basically determines whether she's going to be Princess Celestia's student or not. And she passes the test because of the sonic rain boom from Rainbow Dash. And then Princess Celestia is training her ever since. It's implied. Okay, this is a very rough and quick and fast. What's the loose and fast? What? You know what I mean? This is very, like, the ages, it's very confusing. But you need to know Princess Celestia and Princess Luna are each at least 1,000 years old. Okay. And then Twilight Sparkle, it's kind of implied she's, like, in her 20s. It's 20s equivalent, okay? Like, in terms of, like, a post-schooling type thing. And they're all the same age. There's kind of only two phases of Pony, like, kid and then adult. So, they're adults, okay? But basically, Twilight Sparkle is, like, a loser loner. She finds her friends, she becomes not a loser loner. It takes her a very long time to learn how to not be a loser loner. Because she keeps being like, I have to do everything by myself, otherwise Princess Celestia is going to be disappointed in me. And you might be wondering, why is that? If Princess Celestia sent her to learn the magic of friendship, it's because, I'll take case in point, case study, the Crystal Empire. The Crystal Empire is another, okay, so Princess Celestia is based in Canterlot, which is a city, and she has her castle there, and that's where she raises the sun from, right? There's another it's called an empire, which implies a lot of stuff that we might get into later, implies empire, which is kind of bold, I would say. But there's another empire called the Crystal Empire, where all the ponies, it's implied they're made out of crystal, okay? They've got a crystal shine to them. I don't know if that means they're made out of crystal or if they're just extra shiny, it's unclear. But basically, the Crystal Empire, and it's ruled by Princess Cadence, who marries Twilight Sparkle's brother, Shining Armor. And you might be like, how did that happen? Great question. I don't know. But Cadence was like, one of Princess Celestia's previous students, and was there in the castle while Twilight Sparkle was being raised. It's implied that, well, it's said that Cadence used to babysit her while they were in the castle together, and then once Princess Cadence was ready to rule the Crystal Empire, she was sent out to rule the Crystal Empire, and then happened to meet Twilight Sparkle's brother, and they're getting married. So this is also a season finale event, the marriage, right? Because Twilight Sparkle has to go and all the main six go to the Crystal Empire, and they're gonna get married. But secret surprise. Okay, the first time they're dealing with the Crystal Empire... Oh, actually, no, I guess the marriage is second. The first time they're dealing with the Crystal Empire is... Okay, there's this, like, evil king guy that comes back from banishment to no one's surprise because Princess Celestia banished him and he was in, like, a stained glass window and she's like, see, these are the stories of our past. And then he came back and it's like, oh, big surprise, big whoop. But the Crystal Empire is powered by this crystal heart. Okay, don't ask any questions. I don't know. But it's powered by this crystal heart and basically this evil king guy is going to go in there and steal the heart. And it makes all the crystal ponies depressed and not crystally anymore, I think. And basically, Princess Celestia is like, I know that this guy has escaped banishment. What do we do? What do we do? She knows because Princess Cadence is right now with her unicorn horn making a force field to keep him out. So, but she's her strength is waning. Her strength is waning, guys. So she sends help. She asks for help from Princess Celestia. Princess Celestia goes, how should I deal with this problem? Should I, the most powerful alicorn, go and help Princess Cadence? No, surely that's not the right answer. Should I send Princess Luna, the second most powerful alicorn, to deal with this problem? No, that's not the solution. I'm gonna send my student, Twilight Sparkle, to go save an empire. And you might be like, that's kind of weird. I wonder why Princess Luna couldn't help. Great question. It's because Princess Celestia says don't help her. She even she brings Princess Twilight to her castle and she goes, this is going to be a good test for whether you can handle stuff. And goes, you have to do it also by yourself. Princess Luna, not allowed to go with her. You have to go by yourself. And Princess Luna goes, ooh, I feel like that's a bad idea. And Princess Celestia says, if she can handle it, she can handle it. And you go, what? What? Are you sure? So she goes with her friends, but Twilight is set on doing this by herself. Because again, Princess Celestia told her exclusively that she has to do it by herself. So she gets the Crystal Empire, and lo and behold, she can't do it by herself. And she goes through like this whole thing. And one of them is that one of the king's evil king's powers is that he can make you face your greatest fears. All right? You want to know what Twilight Sparkle's biggest fear is? Princess Celestia telling her that she's failed and that she's disappointed in her. Okay? So that's her biggest fear. And basically what happens is Twilight Sparkle realizes she can't save the Empire by herself and her friends save the Empire. She goes back to Princess Celestia and is like, I failed. I disappointed you. And Princess Celestia goes, secret surprise, that was the lesson all along. You needed your friends to help you. Which, hey, feels kind of unfair. Feels kind of like moving the finish line to me, okay? And this is the kind of baggage that Twilight Sparkle is dealing with. She has to face her greatest fear, and then Princess Celestia goes, secret surprise, I tricked you. Okay? And this is all for the end goal. At the end of the 9 seasons, Twilight Sparkle becomes an alicorn. She becomes an alicorn, and she becomes... And secret surprise, it's because Princess Celestia has been training her this whole time to be her successor. Okay, interesting. I have a lot of thoughts on that. Number one, what about Princess Luna? Don't think about it. Number two, why didn't she tell her this whole time? I don't know. Great question. I don't want to think about that. But what's interesting is that in the final season, there's like these three main villains that are coming for all the alicorn's powers because they can like absorb magic or I don't know, it's this whole thing. And in order to avoid the evil guy getting the alicorn magic, instead of, fighting him, Princess Celestia goes, here's what we're going to do. All three alicorns in existence, Princess Celestia, Princess Luna, Princess Cadence, are going to put all of their alicorn magic into Twilight Sparkle so she can hold on to it, and they're hiding the magic, essentially. And you might be like, what? Why would you do that? Why would you not just fight the dude? Great question. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, so they put all their magic in Twilight Sparkle, which leaves her with the responsibility of raising the sun every day, raising the moon every day, protecting the Empire, protecting the Crystal Empire, protecting all of the empires. Okay. Also, while not telling anyone, she's got all the alicorn magic. What? What? And this ends up with her doing like a Super Saiyan battle with this guy. So like realistically they should have been fighting him the whole time. Anyway, it's like a whole thing, right? And Princess Twilight Sparkle at this point Princess Twilight Sparkle is like having this whole identity crisis in the last season of like, what am I the princess of? Okay, because Princess Celestia was like, you'll know in your heart, because Princess Celestia is the princess of Equestria and Princess Luna is the princess of the moon, presumably. And Twilight Sparkle is like, what am I the princess of? I can't be the princess of Ponyville. So she finds out she's the princess of magic, of friendship, specifically friendship magic. And that's partly because she ends up the elements of harmony with some, like, some voodoo stuff about the elements of harmony. Regardless, okay? So she is the princess of the element of magic and friendship. And that's her thing. Also, the Tree of Harmony, where they found the elements of harmony, becomes her castle. It turns into, like, this whole castle thing. Anyway, that's, okay, all context. That is all context for how the show goes down. And there's a lot of deeper issues there, and I personally believe that Princess Celestium was really Dumbledoring it up by, like, not saying anything important to Princess Twilight ever and always keeping her in the dark and making her deal with issues that Princess Celestia supposedly could have dealt with at any point. Okay, which is crazy. Which is crazy. Anyway, we need to talk about the infection, AU. Well, actually, should we dive into... Okay, let's also just talk about the show just, like, a little bit more, because I can't help it, okay? Because there's, like, a very interesting allegory in this show, in the sense that there is, as I talked about before, the Earth ponies are farmers, right? And in the creation myth of Equestria, basically, everyone gets into this huge fight because the Earth ponies are, like, there's, like, a drought or something. I don't know. There's some sort of, like, bad stuff, bad vibe energy, and so the Earth ponies are not, like, getting the same yield that they usually do. So everyone is like, oh my gosh, you guys suck. But then the Earth ponies are like, well, the Pegasi control the weather, isn't it their fault, right? And then the unicorns, they hide and they, like, stockpile stuff, and everyone gets mad at them for that. So they get into this huge argument, and because there's no harmony in the land, these sirens come and they start absorbing all the negative energy. Okay, they start absorbing all the negative energy, and they are just absolutely loving it. And it causes this crazy storm that the Pegasi have no control over, and everything is getting stormed up. But then they realize, oh my gosh, the solution to this is harmony. And then they all become friends again, thanks to a few important ponies. They all become friends again, and then they never have the same problem again. And you might be like, sirens, that sounds familiar. Yes, it's the same. Implied to be the same creatures that get banished to the human realm. What? I don't want to talk about that. Okay? It's crazy. I think they're technically different, but they look the same. It's really strange. But anyway, disharmony has been brewing, because in the final season, there's three main villains, all of whom are coming back from previous seasons, because they were just banished, and now they're back. But the three villains are like, they're actually quite smart. They say, we always get defeated because Twilight Sparkle comes in with her harmony and she harmonizes everyone, and then they're too strong. So what we have to do is we have to divide them. So what do? They end up, like, essentially manufacturing racism. Well, let me not say manufacturing. They, like, increase tensions between the Earth ponies, the Pegasi, and the unicorns by, like, being on the street and starting rumors about how, like, they're, like, they hate each other and yada yada yada. And eventually, and it's, like, to the point of, like, people think, like, the unicorns are all uppity and they don't want to share their resources, and the Pegasi are, like, crazy and violent, and then the Earth ponies are, like, not good for anything. It's like crazy stuff, right? They're doing crazy rumors because they know if they do this disharmony stuff, those evil siren people will come back and start the crazy storm, and then they can defeat everyone lickety split, right? Okay. Twilight Sparkle at this point is trying to figure out what kind of princess she is, so she's distracted. Miss Princess of Harmony is distracted from the disharmony that is happening, and they come to her, and ponies come to her, and they're like, it's getting crazy out there, and she's like, what? What? That's crazy, right? And you might be like, how do they solve this issue? How do they get everyone to get along? It's crazy. Basically, they, like, don't know what's happening, and then they, like, think about everything that's going on, and they're like, how could this have happened? What? And then they reflect on the creation myth. And also, at this time, Twilight Sparkle has her castle, and she started a school. And the school is, like, on this friendship school, magic school, but also friendship school, right? And in the school, there are other species besides just ponies, okay? because there is multiple times without the seasons in which there are like bison, which are implied to be a native population, like an indigenous population. What? And then also like dragons, griffins, and like all these different types of creatures, okay? And different creatures are attending Twilight Sparkle School. It's not just ponies, okay? And the way they end up defeating the villains and overcoming this like heavily implied to be racial tension is basically they, like, all the kids that were in Twilight Sparkle School that were like not ponies are like, oh my god, Twilight Sparkle taught us about this. We just have to be friends. And then they go back to their people, and their people are like, oh my god, we have to help the ponies. Which is kind of weird, because it's implied a lot of times that the ponies are kind of living on stolen land. What? Okay. But they go back to their respective peoples. Their respective peoples come, and then they unite, and the strength of their uniting inspires the ponies to unite, and then they all unite, and then they defeat the villains by being friends again. And it's like, but being friends again in the sense of maintaining the status quo that previously, as we learned, did not work for any other species besides ponies, which is very awkward. And they like, they have this like new, it's implied at the end that there's like a new generation or like the new main six kind of, but it's like six kids from different, like one's a griffin, one's, you know, they're doing all that. But they're like been trained by Twilight Sparkle, so they like follow all her same ideas and stuff. Which is a whole thing in and of itself, which is crazy, right? But that's kind of what we're working with. Now let's talk about the AU, okay? Let's do a little span, and let's talk about the AU. Because in the AU is based on one episode of My Little Pony from a very early season, in which there's like a swamp fever going around, in which like the ponies briefly turn into zombies, okay? It's like, it was like a Halloween special or something or other. Because they get bitten by like little woodland creatures. Also, there's other animals. There's animals that are non-sentient, that are just animals, like bunnies and badgers and stuff. Okay, don't think about that. Also, it's implied they're sentient because they can all talk to Fluttershy. Don't think about that. Don't think about that. We're moving on. Because we're talking about the Infection AU. So the Infection AU was started by one specific artist on TikTok who would, like, draw, like, character sheets, which is, like, oh, gosh, this is a lot of lore. Okay, character sheets are, like, when you like, basically, like, draw, like, a bunch of different angles of one character and like either like to show an outfit or something, and then you like list a bunch of characteristics on the side. Okay, character sheet. Drew a bunch of character sheets and was like, this is my AU. And typically art focused AUs don't have a lot of fan fiction to, like written work to go along with them, so it's a lot of just like looking at the art and like just implying a storyline, which I think is really cool actually. But the original Infection AU became well known because there would be like it would be like a slideshow on TikTok and you get the last image and it was like super scary, like zombie horse, like super scary. So I could not participate because I would get, hey, so scared because the images were so scary. Okay. But as of late, I have found a new user on TikTok who has, I should find it. Okay. While I'm finding it, I will continue to yap. But basically they have like, their Infection AU doesn't have the scary stuff, and they've really expanded on the lore. So because there's a lot of different artists participating in the same AU, like everyone kind of has their own idea for how the disease came about and like how it works and all of that, right? So hold up, pulling up my watch history. But they all have their own thing about it, which is really cool. And the initial one that I saw is that Princess Celestia was Patient Zero, right? Which is kind of juicy, because why would Princess Celestia start a virus like that? And also, there's like, they like do character sheets of all the different pony characters and like where they are in that moment. And there's like statuses like health, sanity, and stuff like that. But, so the initial one I saw was that Princess Celestia was missing and, like, Patient Zero, and she was, like, crazy zombie lady, and, like, they're all, like, sheltering in different places, and a few of the main six have become zombies, which is like crazy. And then oftentimes, like Applejack, because she's got the farm situation going, she's the one who's like leading the rebellion and like keeping people safe at the farm. That's kind of her thing. And also, oh my gosh, we also controversially kind of have to talk about ship dynamics. And you might be like, ship dynamics amongst ponies? Yes. So basically, in canon, okay, stay with me, in canon, in the last episode, in the epilogue, okay, of the show, in the last episode, after, like, kind of post-credit vibe, Twilight Sprinkle is, one, Bella Hadid skinny, okay, because she's the princess of everything. Princess Celestia's not there. It's her. She has become the new Princess Celestia. And she, her pony friends, the main six, five, without minus Twilight Sprinkle, are, like, all older, and Applejack and Rainbow Dash are married, okay? They're married. And Fluttershy is also married to Discord. And you might be like, who's Discord? Great question. Discord, I'm howling at the moon. If you're familiar with that, that's what this is about. Discord is the embodiment of chaos in the world of My Little Pony. And he was a villain. He's very morally gray. He's actually kind of an interesting character in the story because he is so morally gray. But basically, he makes crazy things happen. He's got, like, chaos magic or whatever, which is, like, the opposite of Princess Celestia's, like, order and... Yeah. Okay, there's implications to that we don't have to unpack. But generally, it's like... Guys, I've watched so many TikToks since I saw this, and I did not realize. I'm really scrolling down deep in here. I'm gonna find it, though. Even if it's by the end of the episode, I'm gonna find it for you guys so I can tell you the user. So you guys can go look yourselves. Anyway, she's married to Discord, which is strange because he's like a timeless being, and the vibes are so, so weird. But basically, she is like so caring that it transcends his evilness, and like he basically becomes like docile because they like are in love. It's really weird. Is that giving you weird vibes? Because it should. But anyway, that's canon. That's something that happened in the show. For real. Anyway, moving on. So in the Infection AU, you really get to, with any zombie universe, you really get to play into the dynamics of the characters, between the characters. And I saw one that was like, oh, so juicy, where Applejack was like, obviously like head of the ranch and like protecting the people, the ponies that are like hiding in the ranch. But Rainbow Dash was like on the front lines and like got bit by one of the infected ponies. But Applejack refuses to let her go, so she's been like hiding her on the farm and hoping that she stays. It's like actually really crazy. But a big part of the infection is always like some sort of plant related situation. Either they like start growing into trees or like they start growing into stuff, and that's kind of based in the episode from the actual show. But generally it's, wow, I'm, like, astounded at how many TikToks I've watched since then. Guys, this is, like, a problem. It was only a couple days ago. Wow, that's upsetting. I'm gonna keep looking. But anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah. Okay, but this one that I saw, I thought was really good because it was, one, based in canon in terms of, like, the characters all made sense, and I thought it was really cool, and the art was really rad, and it wasn't that scary, which I... live, laugh, love. But basically, Twilight Sprinkle, she kind of has like a good luck Charlie thing where at the end of every episode where she learns like a good thing, she writes in a diary / to a letter to Princess Celestia. In the beginning, it's very much like at the end of everything that happens, she writes a letter to Princess Celestia to tell her what she's learned. And I think over time that kind of becomes like a diary situation. Oh, guys, it's actually important that I find these TikToks so that I can, like, basically read you the TikToks. This is crazy. Okay. I'm, like, getting to that point where I've scrolled far enough down that I don't know if I should give up and just look it, like, in the search function and give up all this progress of scrolling, or if I should stick it out. Because I can't remember, like, you know, maybe it's soon. Oh, maybe it's not, actually. No one asked me about my screen time, because I don't want to look at it after this. To be fair, I stayed in bed until 2 today. Because midterms have been really crazy and I haven't been getting a lot of sleep, so I was like, today's my day where I'm not doing anything, so I stayed in bed until like 2 p.m. I woke up at like 11:30, but I stayed in bed until 2 p.m. So you can imagine the amount of TikToks you can get in 2.5 hours. More than 2.5. You know what I mean. Okay, you know what I mean. I don't think I'm getting close. Okay, I'm deciding to give up and to search. Wish me luck. Because, guys, some of these are really scary. What if I get scared? Oh my gosh, scary. Ah, scary. But basically, okay, these are actually very scary, and I don't want to look at them anymore. Okay, I'm just going to have to tell it to you by memory. And I'm sorry. Okay, so basically, stick with me. There's 5 parts. There was 5 TikToks. I feel so bad talking about all the art without being able to remember who the user was. Okay, just trust me, guys. I would tell you to look it up, but it's kind of scary, so maybe don't look it up if you can't handle, creepypasta stuff. I wish I could find it. But anyway, in this one, it starts... There's, the 5th installment of the series was, a prologue, and I saw that one first. So I'm just going to tell you that one first. But it's, Twilight Sparkle's diary, and the first entry is, her being emo about how the main 6 are aging, and she's not. Because one thing about Alicorns is they are immortal. Okay? They're immortal. And one thing that Twilight Sparkle does when she becomes an Alicorn is she makes... her friends, her council and whatever, right? But her friends are aging. They're starting to really age. And she is seeing those effects. And she's like, man, I wish I could do something about that. And then the next diary entry is her handwriting's much more erratic. And you're like, ooh, something's up. And she's like, I found a spell. I need the elements of harmony. And I need Princess Celestia and Princess Luna to do it with me. And I think they'll agree. We just have to do this and then everything will be okay. And you're like, oh my gosh, what is she gonna do? And then the next slide is... them, things that have evidently gone wrong. And this method of storytelling is very interesting because you're kind of have to make the suspense in your mind, but trust, there was less suspense while I was looking at it for the first time. But basically, you know from the previous parts that the way the disease works is basically when a pony first gets bitten, right? They obviously, because they turn into zombies, they want to, trigger warning, eat other ponies, okay? But that, first bite, if they don't take the first bite, they don't fully turn, okay? They don't turn until they take the first bite. So if you can resist the hunger, you can stay around for a while. But after there's no gentle way to put this. After they eat the first pony, right, they become an amalgamation, which is basically the pony starts to grow out of them and they get 2 heads, 8 legs, 2 tails kind of stuff. It's crazy. So the more ponies that an amalgamation eats, the more ponies start growing out of them. And it's kind of crazy. But eventually they collapse under their own weight and they die. However, when they die, flowers grow out of the body and they're called Last Hope Lilies. And everyone is certain that these flowers are the key to the cure, right? So there are ponies that are working on the cure, the immunization. And basically, the immunization is that, when at the injections that you get this, big white star scar, which is, kind of cool. And oftentimes, they will, grow extra limbs or, extra tails or, extra ears, but they won't be able to get infected. But you can't, the immunization doesn't work on ponies that have already been bitten. So, leading the charge on the immunization is Sunset Shimmer. You might be like, who is Sunset Shimmer? Great question. Sunset Shimmer is one of the main characters from the first Equestria Girls movies. She's in the Equestria Girls movie. But basically, she was a previous student of Princess Celestia who, once Twilight Sparkle becomes in charge, she gets real jealous and she steals a magic crown and does a little escaping. But then, at the end of the day, does a lot of character work and becomes a good person again. But she has really strong magic, just like Twilight Sparkle, okay? But she's leading the charge, and she was the first to be immunized. She was the first to get the vax, okay? So she's working on that. Pinkie Pie has... I think at this point, Pinkie Pie is, holding it together. She's trying to be strong for the people. She's trying to remain fun and keep laughter in the air, which is hard when your friends are turning into zombies. And then Applejack and Rainbow Dash are an amalgamation together that won't leave the farm. They stay at the ranch, which is like very, you know. Twilight Sparkle is nowhere to be found. Fluttershy is, she's been bitten, but she hasn't eaten any pony yet. So she's still kind of okay, but she's like, you know, dealing with the hunger. And she is protecting Discord, because Discord, once realizing that his magic has no effect on the amalgamations, sacrificed himself and turned to a statue to create a protective barrier around Ponyville, okay? And the Crystal Empire. I don't know. Don't ask me about how the geography of that works. I don't know. But anyway, so she's staying at this statue in case he comes back, which is really sad, actually. And Rarity is down in the mines, and she is trying to build an underground safe place. And you might be like, where's Twilight Sparkle? Especially given her diary entries that I just told you about. Great question. Twilight Sparkle, there over the city of Canterlot, there is the Alicorn Amalgamation. Gasp. The Alicorn Amalgamation contains Twilight Sparkle, Princess Celestia, and Princess Luna. And because they're so strong, the amalgamation has not collapsed yet. So it's just this huge crazy thing flying on top of Equestria. Whoo, right? But now that they have the immunization, the ponies are starting to be able to rally. They're like, we can do this. You know, they can rally. They got this. There's also like, what I love about the artists, they didn't forget the side characters. They did a lot on the side characters about how like the different dynamics and like who's been bitten and who's not bitten, who's turned to amalgamation and who hasn't, who's holding on, you know? And in the final installment, right before the prologue installment, Sunset Shimmer is leaving her research to her assistants, and she is going to lead the effort to stop the Alicorn amalgamation. Oh my, OMG, OMG. So she takes the remaining ponies and they go and fight it. And it's left very open-ended, but I like to think that they succeeded. And in the prologue, there's a little more information about the disease. And pretty much, Twilight Sparkle, obviously the spell did not go well. But because it was a spell for lengthening life and immortality and all of that jazz, that's part of the reason why the ponies turn into amalgamations rather than just zombies, because like there's like a whole element of growth, right? And then the last hope lilies were like Twilight Sparkle's last attempt after in currently realizing what was going wrong with the spell, her last attempt to grant the amalgamation some mercy, so that they would actually end at some point rather than just like keep amalgamating, which unfortunately didn't work for her and the Alicorns because their magic's too strong, which is why the last hope lilies is a thing. So I thought that was just like incredible world building. For like a quick AU on TikTok, like how do you even do that? Wow. Yeah. So anyway, that's what I've been thinking about. I'm telling you guys, I have thought about My Little Pony perhaps too much, and you might be like, just even saying that phrase. I hope nobody tuned in right at that moment because that's kind of embarrassing. But bronies have really given the My Little Pony a bad name. Okay, by being weird. Weird people. Bronies, if you don't know, are male fans of My Little Pony. Yeah. It's only cool when I do it. So, hate to say it. But I can't say I would recommend giving My Little Pony a watch. But I would recommend watching the Equestria Girls movies. In particular, Rainbow Rocks. The first one is also kind of good because Sunset Shimmer gets her whole, like, who am I? And she, like, is standing on a roof singing a song and throws her jacket to the wind and whatever. But I would really recommend Rainbow Rocks because it's really good and the songs are really fun. Yeah, I think it's really interesting. And also, oh, by the way, in Equestria Girls, you might be like, so it's five of the main six are human girls in high school. They really blurred the line of human. So maybe human is a strong assumption. But Twilight Sparkle, Pony Twilight Sparkle, is like goes through a portal into the human world. So it's the Twilight Sparkle you know with the five from this world. Okay, and she helps them with their problems. Which is kind of crazy. But in later movies, they find the Twilight Sparkle of that universe. And initially, she's actually the villain of, I would say, the third movie, The Friendship Games. But then she reforms and becomes better. And I think actually her character development is very interesting along with Sunset Shimmer's, because in the first movie, when Sunset Shimmer is the evil villain popularity mean girl, she, as her like climax, becomes a crazy she-demon. Yeah, because she gets too much bad magic and turns into a she-demon, which is like kind of crazy. And she has to like live that down for the next like three movies. But she like becomes a better person. They become friends with her and show her the power of friendship. And Twilight Sparkle does the same thing in the friendship games. And then they like bond over that, which I think is really interesting. Overall, there's four movies. I would definitely recommend Rainbow Rocks. Yeah, I think that's really cool. Ooh, let me do my station ID. Okay, this has been Janie, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. I love Freeform Radio because it gives the opportunity to talk about things like this. And yeah, should we listen to another My Little Pony song to close out? Let's do Welcome to the Show. All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. Please stick around for the next DJ, of course. And let's get into it. Signing off. See you this Thursday, actually. Okay, bye.